Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello, good day to you all. Welcome to Hardcore Listing with me, Christopher Glasson, and my wonderful, handsome, badger-like co-host, Stuart Roy Whiffin. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I am badger-like today, aren't I? I've just, the light in the Whiffin is not good today. I'm not going to lie. I look like ghost-like, and which really accentuates the grey. Not in a kind of Clooney-esque way, more a Dave Lee Travis way.
I think you look
way.
Very handsome. That's all I'm going to say.
Cheers,
I like
mate.
You spent
Cheers,
a few
mate.
Quid in the back. Is that real creeping or whatever you've invested in at the back of over your...
No, let me tell you what that ivy's for. I bought that and I bought a load of plastic flowers and stuff like that for a photograph backdrop for my daughter. And so that's done now. So I had a load of it. So I was just literally throwing it in the within, and yeah, just threw that stuff up there. More than anything, at the moment, out of the way. So, but yeah, but well, look, let's not talk about my background. It's a very new background for Christopher William Glasson.
Yeah, I mean,
today.
We're used to seeing like me and my mum's like utility room with ironing boards, and it's barely an upgrade. Barely an upgrade.
Yeah.
Today I'm.
It's basically just a load of bags for life in a pretty sparsely decorated and it's just bags for life.
That's
in a white
it.
Room.
That's the look. That's what I'm going for. My decorations. There. I've just moved to Margate on Thursday. So hurrah!
Tell me about this.
I will do.
Come on, let's tell me about the move.
Look,
how was it?
Before we get any further, if you've not listened to Hardcore Listing before, we actually don't just talk about decorations. We actually talk about top fives. Sometimes they're put forward by our listeners. Sometimes I like to call them our fans. Sometimes we have a guest on. We do a top five with them. We dig deep on that top five. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been doing it for 4 years. So welcome if it's your first time. And welcome back if you're a regular listener. I guess before we go any further, shall we have a quick shout out to our sponsors too?
Let's do that. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car has a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Landraver Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old XMOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. Bosh, there they are. What lovely sponsors they are. Long-time sponsors as well. So, yeah, thanks loads, you ruddy, bloody, lovely people. So, yeah, I mean, you've been a bit here, there and everywhere recently, haven't you? Obviously, you've had to kind of jet back to Baz, where you've got your house, and also, obviously, to keep an eye and look after your mum. And then, obviously, you've been living back in London at Molly's and all over the place. So does it feel nice to kind of get somewhere that's home now?
It's a bit weird. to know that we've just bought this house. Like, you stay in there first night and you're like, oh, we own this. And the other thing was, like, the move went like absolutely like clockwork. Everything, like the movers, picking up the keys, no real traffic, did it all on time. But what we've realised is the house needs way more decorating than I thought. I literally thought that because of all the stuff that was in here when we came and looked at it, and it's all a bit mad buying a property at the moment. People snapping them up. So you've got...
Especially in Margate, actually,
yeah, you have to make a decision quite quickly. And we had to do a closed bid offer, which was all very stressful. And we thought it was a couple of licks of paint and redo the bathroom. But actually, every room, like now that there's nothing in here, like every room, like the rads have got to come off. The skirts have probably all got to come off. The walls have all got to be repaired. The electrics have got to be redone. All of a sudden, my life is going to be... Do you remember back when I was doing my flat? Which took...
Oh, yeah. When you were doing that for, what was it, about 3 years?
The only difference now is I've got a...
you say flat, just the kitchen.
No, I did the kitchen. I just tiled the kitchen and bathroom, and I actually did the other rooms as well, to be fair. But the difference now is I've got someone cracking the whip. Like, I've got a girlfriend who's just going to be like, you know, unhappy until it's done. And that's what every man wants, you know. That's the inspiration we need. I might get some assistance as well. I might pay for some decorators, but they're all sort of blocked out. Out for the next 6 weeks, so it's kind of difficult, you know. So there we go, but it's very exciting, and we went for a swim first thing this morning.
Oh, dude, lovely.
It was beautiful, like the weather.
So can you walk to the beach?
We can. It would have been a 10-minute walk, but because we haven't done the walk yet, we do think it's only 10 minutes. And we wanted to go to a slightly different tidal pool. So there's one that's 10 minutes away, and there's one that to walk would be about 40 minutes, but is still like a literally 7-minute drive. So we drove there, and it was just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. What a way to start your morning. I can't believe it. We were so happy. Like, we were both a little... I haven't done it for a while. Molly was a little bit more panicky than me, thinking it was going to be freezing. But she got in like an absolute trooper, had a swim back here. Just felt amazing, man. So, yeah, can't... Very happy about that. And it's Pride at Margate today. So, I think we're going to go to Dreamland. We still haven't decided because of COVID and stuff like that. But yeah, we're probably going to go and sample that tonight. So yeah, looking forward to it, mate. I heard you've not had such a, but you've had a bit of chaos the last few days.
Yeah. I'm in quarantine at the moment. Not me, but, it's in the house, but I don't know. To be honest, I don't really want to talk about it because it's all I've spoke about for the last 2 days, and it's just boring, and everybody else has kind of lived through it, haven't they, and got through it, and it's just a case of, more than anything, it's just a bit boring, isn't it? Like, not being able to go out. You get lockdown over, and then all of a sudden, you can't go out your house for Thursday, I think. So, but it's all right. You know, I'm going to do some radio shows and watch some films. But to be honest, mate, like, I ain't really been out for the last 16 months anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's all just done over Zoom now, so it ain't really no great shakes for me. But, you know, it's just things like wanting to go around the shop and buy a selection of crisps.
Desperate.
But do you know what? That was actually the first thing that went through my mind. I was like, fucking hell, how are we doing for crisps? Don't worry about these things, mate. But it doesn't matter because... I have a house full of gadgets.
Yes. So today's top five, as Stu has segued into, is top five gadgets. Was this one of yours, or was it a listener? Oh, it was one of yours. And what was inspired by that? Was you using anything this first thing this morning in bed?
Yeah, I had a vaginal simulator that I was working up and down my stem this morning, and I just thought, this is amazing.
Called fleshlights, mate. Okay. Don't act like you don't know.
All right, you've gone all cool now you live in Margate with these jazzy words.
You just don't know. Who's going first? Vibrator.
Yeah, you can.
Because on the drive to the beach this morning, I was like, top five gadgets. I literally hadn't even finished the word gadget before Molly said vibrator. It's like...
I don't know if that's just like her acknowledging the genius of the vibrator or her... thoroughly disappointed in the performance of your partner.
I tell you what,
cock.
Right now, like, you know, moving for the last 2 days, and we thought, oh yeah, you know, we're getting the house and we're christening it, and like the very first night, she sort of like like, just jumped on top of me, and I was like, babe, I'm really sorry. I just don't think.
And you wonder why the first words out of a mouth.
I wasn't surprised. I'm going to go and buy a magic wand today. They're like the good, the cool ones. But, you know, my era was a rampant rabbit, you know, and I've had many a time when I've told you about the time, the first time I went on a date with a girl, and then things spiraled and we ended back at hers. And I was sort of like, you know, on top in I believe is called the missionary position. As I reach, you know, get a bit more purchase, get a bit more drive into it, classic, get my hand on the end of the mattress to sort of like, you know. And as I slipped my hand under her pillow, just grabbed onto her vibrator. And I just thought, I wasn't going to bring it up. I didn't want to, you know, spoil the mood, or I didn't know what her sense of humour was like. So I kind of just like, rolled it with both hands to one side and carried on. I think it's a great shout. What a wonderful aid for women, a vibrator, eh? Most of the time, they say a lot of time women don't come from just normal penetrative sex. It's not that, you know, men tend to be focused on their end. So thank God for vibrators, but they kind of put in a shame to us all. That's why I've, when I'm going in for my circumcision, I'm getting a couple of batteries installed. Yeah, I'm getting a couple of batteries installed and a button, and then my dick will just vibrate. Yeah, wow. I know, technology, eh? Gadgets.
Rampant redshift.
Do you know some porn stars, some male porn stars in America have air pumps in their dick? Oh, no, I'm not even joking.
Do you know what? I'm not going to question you, because I know... Of all the guesswork and all the bollocks that you've said over the years, I know that is the sort of thing that would take up two hours of your life watching YouTube videos on that.
I just watched an interview with a porn star once, and that's what they said. Some of these guys these days have these sort of...
Got to be true.
Yeah, exactly. Got to be true, mate. Someone said it online.
I can't imagine there can be much sensation if you've literally got a fucking lilo for a dinkle.
At what point... You know, when you're pumping your dick up, do you think this isn't how I imagined being a porn star?
I mean, is it like a tiny little kind of like the little sort of squeezy pump they use when they do your blood pressure? Is it one like that, or do you take it down to like SO and just and like, you know, when you're doing your tires, just do your belly at the same time?
I'm typing into Google "dick pump for porn stars."
That kind of
penile pumps.
When you, well, I imagine there's pumps that you put over your knob pump it. And no, I know there are, that are meant to kind of enlarge it.
Oh my god, that is so much bullshit! I've just found myself on the weird side of the internet. It's a penis enlarger, and it's like a fucking rack, a torture rack for your dick. Oh, that's insane.
No one needs that gadget in their life.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Just want to talk about the anxiety around if you've put your 20 pence coin in the water and air at the petrol station. It's literally like... It's like a game show, isn't it? You've got... Because no one takes the four dust caps off before they put the air in the tyres. You do them as you go. And the panic that you might not get all four tyres done.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the anxiety, let alone, you know, at the end having to, you know, put 21 PSI in your Corey. That's like...
You need that for your dick. A guy killed himself once putting one of those pumps up their bum. Walked into a garage and literally killed themselves by... That's in the what's it called? The Darwin Awards. Someone won it one. Yeah, someone won it 1 year because they got. I think they're Korean. Really got into putting their bike pump up their butthole, getting the thrill of air through their guts, and then thought, I'm gonna go one better, and it was too much for his bum. Kapow! Exploded. So, I mean, that's the great thing about gadgets. Are you a gadget man? Would you say you're a gadget man?
No.
My brother is such a gadget man. I had a right old rigmarole the other day, having to go and do a favour for my brother at his house. But when he was out, He had a PS5 there, obviously had a game on that. And his house is just full of just wondrous gadgets everywhere. He's always been, you know, that's how he spends his money on technology and gadgets. And his just house is like fucking tomorrow's world, mate. But I think we're more practical. We're more practical. We're more rugged men, aren't we? I'm the fisherman and the badger. Yeah. Okay.
If that, would that be what we'd be called if we fought crime?
Yeah. I'd just stink a crab.
This could be a job for the fisherman and the badger.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your number five, bro?
Breville.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Like a Breville. I mean, for the younger listeners, I believe Breville, like Tannoy, is a brand name. A Breville is a sandwich maker. I guess a lot of people probably use the George Foreman Lean grilling machine for a similar.
That's for meat. That's for meat, sort of even, right? You don't go. I guess like, you could do a toasty in that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Of course you can. I've done it.
I've done it.
Bet you have. Like, but it doesn't seal the edges like the Breville does and put it into a couple of little triangles. I think I've mentioned before in the 90s I made a health and safety video about the dangers from a baked bean Breville. It's just fucking sinister. It's worse than McDonald's apple pie.
Absolutely is.
Invented the Inter Breville cooling system, which involves basically nipping the two corners off, blowing cold air in, and obviously the warm air then leaves and it cools the Breville internally.
You got a Nobel Prize for that.
Yes, I did.
Because someone else was up for it for removing landmines, but I think actually your one came in before it, didn't it? You know, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sure, you know, the burns that people experience from landmines is probably very similar to that of people that are, you know, getting involved in Breville incidents. Yeah. Like, you know, it is hot molten lava.
Absolutely, mate. Oh, Breville, they are beautiful. You know. As we've
what's your go to Breville?
Well, it would have been cheese. Like, I'm not going to fuck around. Like, as long as I got cheese in that, everything else is superfluous. Like, it's a nice to have. You could stick a bit of Marmite in there, baked bean, bit of ham. But, you know...
Right, so again, right, listen, mate. You're steaming in without thinking, right? This is why you need me in your life, right? You're going to get hurt, mate. You're going to get hurt, like... Because I know what'll happen. You'll come in, like... You know, you've had a couple of fucking artisan beers in Margate, and you're like, right, let's have a fucking tofu and fucking ham Breville. What happens is the cheese and the ham heats up, right? You take a bite, and unless you make one seriously clean bite, and you have got to have carbon teeth to get through that, right? You're pulling the whole fucking slice of ham out, and it's literally going to fucking... It's going to destroy your chin.
I've got protection now for that, but yeah, I have been there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, mate. It's not good. Like, you know, and I think... I'll probably put it at number five, because as much as it is one of the best, it comes with... Yeah, it's dangerous, you know. It's something you shouldn't be messed with. You need like the fireworks code, you know, I think with a, when you buy a Breville, something that like there weren't enough adverts on the telly warning people of the dangers of a Breville.
So how do you do? What do you got to do? Do you think like you got to dice the ham because that way it's better, I guess. Dice the ham because then you can't pull a load out at once, and probably same thing. Grate the cheese, and it'll probably I know it'll all melt together, but maybe. Maybe it still will be a little bit more dispersed than if it was like... I never did any of this. I just lay...
Three words, mate. Three words.
Not enough time?
Knife and fork.
Ooh, yeah. Knife and fork.
It's a maverick strike, I know, because it's a toaster. You just want to pick it up and go. Just, but like I say, the cons outweigh the pros.
I'm a knife and fork man these days.
I eat a burger with a knife and fork.
Pizza, I'll eat it with a knife and fork. Don't care.
Yeah.
Mark Irvine used to do it. Shout out to Mark Irvine. And I used to just be like, you fucking loser. And now I realise, he was right all along.
Yeah. God damn. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, solidarity, brother. Number four, Christopher.
I'm going to go with the... I've only ever used one a couple of times, but drones are like... seeing into the future. If one of your mates, like so one of my mates was a cameraman for like BBC and Sky, and he would do Portrait Artist of the Year, and he bought like one of these like $4,000 DJI drones, and it is like staring into the future when you see that thing start hovering, because it's not like, you know, these shitty ones you get from the gadget shop that, you know, barely take off and sort of like you end up slamming them into the walls. I don't know if you've ever had like someone at a Christmas presents got one and got one of these cheap ones and they've flown it around the lounge and within minutes they've snapped the propellers off. And these super expensive ones.
You know that the first one we got, I got for the kids. I went, look, give us it here. Give us it here. Let me show you how to do it. And then I put it on my neighbour's roof and I never saw it again. Christmas Day.
Oh, God. When you've got it, and also they've got cameras on, it's insane, like, what you can, you know, how you can fly them, you know, right outside kids' windows. You know, there are so many new ways to be a creep. I think that goes beyond creep, by the way. I'm fully aware of that. But, yeah, like, so we got it, and it was weird, because when we started flying it, it was in our park, in Tufnell Park, and we were flying it in the park. And security guards came and said, you can't fly that around here now. I was like, why? And they were literally like, because pedos. They're like, you can't have people just fly. That was the policy of that park. I don't know if it's a,
pedo-heavy park.
I don't know if it's a cross-country policy on drones, because I've seen people flying them even not that long ago. But they were just like, no, sorry, we don't have it, because it's a kids' park. And you could be filming them and stuff like that. I mean, this camera, I mean, Jesus Christ, if you were going to film anyone, you'd be on this camera. Because the camera was like $3,000. The drone was $3,000, and he bought like a camera for like another $1,500 that went on it. And it was like proper like TV quality camera, like for drone footage anyway. Oh, my God. And we were flying that around. We could fly that up. When we went at night one time to fly, we were filming that like the whole of London. We must have been about, I don't know, 200 metres up in the air, 300 metres up in the air. It was
How far are you
high
away from the sun at that point?
I think at that point we were closer to the sun than we were, you know, it was a bit Icarus-y. Yeah. But we, you know, after a while we started getting a bit stupid with it. And, you know, one time we took it off in the lounge and it flew straight into my mate's flat screen TV. It snapped one of our propellers, but the rest of the drone was fine because it was built like a fucking tank. You honestly, I'd have felt confident almost just... leaning on it. It weren't like a flimsy one. This thing was like, I don't know, 40, 50 centimetres wide. It was huge. We put a little mark on my mate's TV, and one day he's like, where's that come from? And he asked me why, and me and him were like, I don't know. Like, I feel quite bad about it, but not that bad. Ryan has told me since, when he was doing one shoot for a company, he ended up flying it into the back of his car. Just hitting the fucking back of the car. I was like, how did you do that? And he went, overconfidence, mate. And you can get really overconfident with them. But as I say, in terms of gadgets, and do you know what made drones and all that possible? It'll be my number 3. I'll tell you what made all drones possible, the technology of drones, where it comes from. So what's your number four, mate?
The Black Widow catapult.
Oh, sick. Absolutely sick.
Right. For those that aren't aware of what they are, I got one. Well, my granddad had one, which I believe, because he used to keep birds, and I believe in quite a grim way, he used to just sort of fire, like, I don't know what, at cats that would try and eat his birds. So I think that was why he bought it.
He was a sadist.
It was acceptable in the 80s. But it was always in the cupboard under the stairs, and it was like, obviously everybody's aware of like the kind of Y-shaped catapult that you see in cartoons and stuff like that. This was very similar to that, but it also had a fold-down handle that would like sort of like push against the top of your wrist. And so you just had so much purchase on it. And it was like, it weren't like a bit of elastic. It was like rubber tubing. And it was just amazing. And I was obsessed with it. And at the time where I lived, there was a joke shop, which ironically you could buy survival knives and catapults in.
Incredible.
And so I'd go down there and buy, you know, sort of snappets and little jokes and, like, you know, fake plastic dog turds, and also go and buy what was known at the time as a Rambo knife. But we spoke about Rambo knives on this podcast. Yeah. But absolutely. Yeah, needle and thread in case you cut yourself open and you need to stitch yourself up. All of that stuff. A snare, which I never really knew how to use. Today's is the catapult. And I used to go over these fields in Tilbury and line up loads of like bottles and cans on this like wall and just fire stones at them and smash the bottles and knock the cans over, which sort of thing, if I walk past kids doing now, I'd be really disappointed. But again, it was the 80s and it was acceptable. And I bloody loved it. And I didn't really get to sort of do it a lot more after that. And then I had a period of getting into fishing. I think when I was about sort of 15, 16, me and my mates would go fishing, and then you'd buy a catapult to fire your bait at. And so you'd get like a handful of sweet corn or maggots and kind of fling it out near where your float was to kind of, you know, bring the fish in. I haven't got the attention. Oh, you'd be good at fishing, right? But I haven't got the attention span for it. I'm bored after about 10 minutes. I want all the gear. I think the gear looks good. Yeah, I like setting it all up. But then, like, I'm like, well, this is boring, isn't it? Yeah. And unless, like, I'm catching fish
you could
all
podcast.
The time.
You could record about four podcasts. Think how convenient that would be. That's the best sport for you. You could do about four podcasts in that time.
That's a really good point. It's a really good point. There must be some fishing podcasts that they record when they go fishing. I can't imagine it would be that exciting.
What's that?
Like...
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying when the float goes, you know.
I think you could use it up fishing with porn stars. You know, look at that. Just Venn diagrammed that and the rampant rabbit chat earlier. The problem with me and I've never been fishing. The only thing I've ever done in Vietnam was, we were
on holiday. You wasn't in the Marine Corps, was you?
I'm afraid, mate. But I found myself on a sleeping over on this overnight boat. It was really wicked, right? Really cool, this boat trip. Amazing, right? And you stay overnight and you go past, I think they're called the dragon's spine, because all the rocks that come out of the water look like basically like Godzilla. Proper cool. You sleep on a thing, I think, called a junk boat. But at the night time, they said, right, let's catch squid. And they said, there's a certain knack to it and blah, blah, blah. And it's all really, it's about the speed and pace that you throw your line in. It's how you hold it. It's handhold line. You throw it in and then you just, it's the speed of pace you drag the line through the water.
A bit like fly fishing.
I guess so. I don't know what fly fishing is. I ain't going to pretend to say that I do. And like if you get the knack for it, you'll catch squid. And anyway, like my current missus at the time and everyone on this boat was fucking coming up sucking their thumb. And then they gave me one and then boom, caught one pretty quickly. Everyone was like, yeah. And then in all the excitement of it, and someone got it off the hook and all that, and then, you know, threw it back. In all the excitement, people were like, oh, do it again. And I did it like 3 times in a row pretty quickly. And after the second time, because I saw him unhook it, that's when the guilt sort of set in. I was just catching these poor little fucking animals. And then like by the third time, I was like, I'm sorry, they're making me do it. And yeah, so, you know, again, with great power comes great responsibility. TM Chris Glasson, 2021.
Absolutely. And I would get bored after 10 minutes and then wouldn't be firing bait at my float. I'd be having a little wander around and just finding some stones and then seeing how big a splash I could make in the lake, firing up, see how high I could get it to go, seeing like things that were like, you know, just... I remember me and my mate, his name was Steve at the time, and I remember saying to him, right, let's put some cans down, because he had one as well. And I was a really good shot with a catapult.
Oh, really?
I spent a lot of time doing it, and I was quite a good shot. And so I'd always hit these cans, and then I went, go and stand that one up, Steve. He was like, yeah, no worries. And as he leant over to stand it up, I thought I'd be really clever and knock it out of his hand. And I fired it, and it hit the ground just before the can and bounced up and hit him clean on the forehead. And it was like quite a hefty sort of round stone. It put him on his arse. Yeah, I didn't go fishing with Steve. That said, I don't think I really ever sort of had much to do with Steve after that, full stop. To clarify, he's alive. But,
you didn't roll him into the pond, did you? And that was the last I saw of Steve. I think he's all right. I imagine he swam out.
I got him from fishing that day. My mum and dad were like, why are you naked? Oh, no, my clothes just caught fire. I don't know why. Where's Steve? Never mind.
No, I went out with Rory.
Right.
Yeah, I've only ever used the catapult, like, I think once or twice. I wouldn't say I'm proficient in it in any way. Can't remember being any good. Yeah. And but one night was Halloween, and someone had a Black Widow, and they had they were like, nut and bolt. They had a bolt. Like just a metal bolt, and they were like, and they were like, look at that fucking bus shelter. And it was quite far away, the bus shelter. It was right across the road and then some, and fired it. And back in the day when, I don't know if many bus shelters are still glass, I guess they are, and the thing shattered. And God, we never ran so, like, it was quite cool, and we ran, and it was like all exciting. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, from like 25 onwards, whenever I saw a shattered bus shelter, I'd be like, fucking bastards.
Yeah. PC Leon McLeod. Obviously, you know where Chris lives.
Never happened.
Like, oh, look at that. You're getting all clever now you've moved, and Leon don't know where you live, so you can't get arrested.
It's my number three.
Okay.
I ain't gonna lie. This is less cool than yours. It's the smartphone. Mainly because Google Maps. Because I was famously known for having no sense of direction. And I still really don't have a sense of direction. But I can read a map. And God, if you can show me where I'm on the map and it updates it, that changed my whole existence. From in going out and navigating and driving anywhere, my life just changed overnight. Because I could actually fucking navigate like effectively. And smartphones are just insane. I mean, obviously, I think they're dangerous. I think, you know, we haven't learned how to live successfully with them yet and I get the right balance. And I hope moving to Margate, I'm going to get more of the balance now. Early to bed, early to rise and all that sort of stuff. But they are insane technology. Like, I was on the phone to someone the other day and we were driving somewhere. And I'll let you know, I wasn't driving at the time. And I just thought, how mad is it that you can speak to someone? This is just a normal mobile phone, and you're constantly moving, and you're still in contact with them. Like, how does a radio signal? How does that work? I still can't get my tiny little head around how that signal finds your phone. Really, blows my tiny little mind, mate. And going back to drones, a lot of drone technology, the technology that went into smartphones in figuring out location and position, like, you know, whether it's up and down, how far away it is off the ground and all that, that technology was what pushed drones into being domesticated and being as widely used as they are now. Wonderful for bombing people as well, I hear, which is fucking scary. Like, all technology, it gets turned that way quite quickly, or indeed it was invented for that in the first place. So yeah, there's a scary side to technology, obviously. But smartphones, mate, fucking shit up.
Do you know what? I think get rid of smartphones, right? We use up so much, you know, recycling. You know, we're learning how to do that better. For me, I think if we washed out the cans, you know, spent a bit of money on some string, a long string, you know, we wouldn't need to be, you know, having our lives followed about on the socials, you know, all these adverts that are coming up. It's like the only advert you get is going to be whether it's beans, soup, sweet corn, whatever your can is. Do you know what I mean? If companies want to take advantage of that and brand on the can, I think that's fine. You know, I love the fact of simple communication. Two cans, piece of string, another one, hotel room. You're the couple next door having a bit of fun, glass on the wall. These things ain't broken. They didn't need fixing. But someone thought, do you know what? Let's cash in. Let's cash in. Let's, you know, let's get these two cans. Let's make them smaller. Let's pop them in your pocket. You know, we put a map on there. It's like, you don't need a map on there. Buy a map.
Yeah, you're right, mate.
Buy a map. And you're talking about moving along, talking, and you don't know how that happens. It's simple, mate. Right, when I used to go running with my mate, we'd be running, and we'd always have a chat. And I was never, like, blown away by the technology of that. It was just... It's just day-to-day living, mate.
Terry the Caveman didn't need it. And he invented it. He invented both of them.
Of course he didn't. Exactly. Fred Flintstone, right? Did he ever text Wilma? No. No, right? And so what happened if, for instance, I don't know, she locked him out and he gets in? Does he jump on his mobile and ring her? No, he doesn't. Old school. Screams Wilma at the top of his voice.
True. But, like, if he could have texted her... before leaving from work, he might not have found her in bed with that stegosaurus. So,
fair enough.
You know, swings around about.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mate. Swings and roundabouts. What's your number three?
Soda Stream.
Yeah, brilliant.
Most
of yours are related to food.
You taking this one? You taking this one again?
Sorry.
I've noticed the last couple of episodes now, the minute I say mine, you just chime straight in and own it.
I really have. I'm sorry. Go on.
I've never had a Soda Stream, Chris. I've never had one.
We didn't have enough money.
No, naughty boy. We did have a Breville. I don't even know if it was an actual... I think at the time, Brevilles were just Brevilles. There wasn't any other brand. We did have one of them. And there's another one that we didn't have that's on my list. But was you about to say that all of mine are from the 80s?
That and most of them are food related. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Correct. The Soda Stream. I love a fizzy drink, me. And I'd go around my mates, and if they had a Soda Stream, I couldn't concentrate on what we was doing. We was probably like playing fucking Tank Command or Crossfire or something. And like, you know, because I had a couple of mates at my school that like lived in like Alsett, which was like a little bit more posh than where I lived. And like, and you know, none of my mates had like cool toys or like fucking soda streams. And like when you went round there and they had a soda stream in the kitchen, they were the sort of people that like, you know, at birthday parties, they'd have Cadbury's animals. They'd have a box of them. You know, they wouldn't just be fucking pulling out a custard cream.
You could have as many Cadbury's fingers as you wanted. No one was watching.
Just like,
that wouldn't happen in my house. You know, there'd have been, we could have afforded to appoint, like, labour was cheap. Someone would have been appointed just to watch the chocolate fingers, make sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think if I had them out on a table in the 80s when people were over, I'd have anxiety. I'd be trying to fob them off with a taxi or a club.
Give them to everyone as they come through the front door. Give them their share.
Yeah. Or maybe put them in the party bags as they leave, one finger each. You know, if you like that person a little bit more, sling them another digit.
That's what my uncle used to say.
So,
sorry.
I'd never remember, like, if I think back, like with soda streams, that like, I always remember people would just have like either Orangeade, Coke, or lemonade. But like, I always remember just thinking like, oh, could you get like a cream soda one?
You could,
like, and stuff like that, and yeah. But you, if I remember rightly, you'd sort of add the kind of carbonated gas to it I presume just standard water. And then you'd add your flavour, and then you put it in a little bottle with a little screw top on, and it was like, bingo, there's your soda stream. It's like, fucking get in. I was all over it, mate. I think I've had one, like, soda stream once, and it was like an Orangeade one at my mate James's back in the day, and it was like, ah, do you know what? I felt like a king. Yeah. I felt like a king, mate. It was like, I don't think anything's ever got better than that moment since.
I'm with you, mate. My mate had one, and his mum was French. And, and that meant they just didn't get regular sort of flavours. They had cream soda. Yeah. They had cola, but we never even bothered with cola, because they also had Vimto. Yeah. And
I'm telling you, mate,
it was like, they didn't really let me make it. That was the only disappointment. Jamie sort of like tended to hog making it a little bit. But I'll be honest with you, mate. I was happy just having a bit of Vimto, fizzy Vimto, you know, or fizzy cream soda. Honestly, what a time to be alive that was. Probably about 1991.
Let me tell you about a moment, right, that is up there for that. So there was a little kind of corner shop that I used to sort of go and frequent when I was little. You know, I was allowed down there with like me 20p to go and buy some sweets. Then dropped the soda strap, the slush puppy, and they were quite pioneering. They had one of the first sort of slush puppy machines, and obviously you'd have the little tap that the ice had come out, and in front of the machine would be like a rack with like maybe sort of six flavours, and I got on well enough with the guy that runs the show, which the more I think about it, the more sinister it sounds. We all called Uncle.
And I think that was my uncle I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for 16p, you could buy a slush puppy. But if you gave Uncle 20p, you could have a slush puppy, but you could do it yourself and add whatever flavours you wanted. So you could do a mixture of flavours. That, my friend, is fucking living.
It's living, but also it's probably like, it's a bit like Five Guys Burger Place. Because you can add the toppings you want and it's quite expensive, you sort of like normally overdo it. And sometimes simplicity is the key. Like you can mix too many flavours.
Yeah, but you get overexcited. You'd still do that. You wouldn't be able to help yourself. You'd go one of each. I know you'd get overexcited straight away. And I did. And that's why, you know, I didn't have any teeth by the time I got to 14.
But that was at Uncle's request as well. So... my number two. All right, I'm gonna go with this one. I'm gonna go with my Sony Mini Disc. Now, I could have chose my AOL Walkman, but the Sony mini disc, as much as that hour Walkman, I loved it. I coveted the fact it was barely bigger than the cassette tape.
Right. Well, my two's a Walkman as well. So let's discuss this together.
You know,
then.
My original Walkman was big and fat and chunky. I'll leave that to you, right? And then I had the slim-lined AOL one, which was incredible. Like the feeling of that technology in my hands. But my Sony mini disc was just like an upgrade. It was because you could skip tracks. And it wouldn't wobble like a CD. I never got a CD, man. I was just like, straight away, that looks fucking retarded.
A CD, man? Did you mean a Discman?
Sorry, bro.
Oh, right, sorry, CD man. Sorry.
A Discman. It never made sense to me. And also, you got to remember, I was an active, dynamic guy, you know. I couldn't, you know, I was running everywhere, jumping over fences. I hadn't got tight. A Discman did not suit my lifestyle. I figured to keep my AOL Walkman because Discman just didn't make sense to me. And but then when the mini disc came out and there was the Reef advert, and I was like, oh my god, that's the fucking goddamn future.
You away.
And he dropped a disc on the floor, and it was all right because it weren't a fucking gigantic plate of a CD.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, it's amazing. And then like my first year of uni, it was around that time, or maybe I was at college still, probably at college, and I started doing a night shift at Argos. First night shift I ever did. Didn't mind the work, simple labour, loading up these trolleys that then got moved onto trucks. I've sort of told this story before, so sorry for repeating this. I fucking love labour as a job. I kind of like that simplicity of doing it. And you'd go around all the different aisles.
Just to clarify, anyone that does manual labour are simpletons, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think I like a nice bit of hard labour where it's like, it's not filled with complexity of what I have to do.
Right.
By the way, labouring is a skilled trade, right? Like if you're trying, I think that's a skilled trade.
Why are you shaking your head?
Why am I saying lovely tits that he's doing to me the other day? Yeah, I love that. I really like that. For example, I really quite enjoyed working on a checkout in Asda. I quite enjoyed that. They always had the stuff. Like there was a crate, there was a trolley, and it was filled with stuff. And it was like, do not touch. And it was, and I was like, what's going on there? Because the boxes are big. And I that's all going in the crusher. And I was just thinking, that's insane. And then one day working, I saw, like on the Monday night, I saw a Sony mini disc, like the top model. And back then it was probably worth, I think it was like £193 or something like that. Like that's serious money back in like 1999. I was like,
That's the equivalent for younger listeners. That's probably about, what, half a million pounds?
Money? I could probably get a dick-shaped rocket launched into space for that now. And I was just like, I couldn't accept that was getting crushed. I couldn't accept it. And it was and so I literally, the next night, because I knew how long it normally took for them to get rid of these trolleys, I was like, I'm going to plan this tonight, and then tomorrow night, I'm going to fucking nick that. And by the way, this is just a complete story. And I never did any of this in case Argos, Mr. Argos is listening. And over the course of the night, I was putting trolleys around the compactor trolley. And I'd spotted where all the security cameras were. And it was a case of basically...
This is like Ocean's 11.
Oh, it was
11.
Fucking brilliant, mate. It was absolutely brilliant. And I had to... I made sure...
The great Argos heist.
It was the great Argos heist. And, you know, putting all those trolleys around it and blocking the camera's field of view. And then I still had to get to it, like I had to get really low and crawl around. I'd left just enough room to crawl around. And then, like get my hand in the cage and manage to... I think what I'd done is I'd loosened the cage as well on one of my other trips and that. So I could just about get it through one of the gaps.
He's literally like
I was shitting myself, like, but also it was a real buzz as well.
Yeah.
And I got it out.
No wonder you got into snowboarding. How ever are you going to replicate that kind of rush?
I just funnily think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, that...
I will.
I think Point Break might have been based on...
I watched that last night.
Really? Did you?
Watched it last night. So rubbish. Still so rubbish, but brilliant.
I think it's based on me, Nick and that. Well,
yeah.
Prematurely based on me, obviously, because I think it came out before I nicked it. It would have been around the same time. Yeah. And no, it wouldn't have been. What am I talking about? This was like 2000, this is about 2019, 1999. So I got it out. I can't actually remember how I got it back into the changing room. I imagine probably quite a simple...
In your anus?
Probably up my arsehole. But I kept it in the... Yeah. It was. Did I nick the packaging as well? I don't think... No, I didn't. I think I got it out the box and got the cables out. And headphones, obviously. And then just got that under my shirt or something. And even when I'd gone to work that day, I wore really tight boxers. Because that was going to be my exit strategy. Because what they tend to do is, like, as you go out, you have to go through a security thing. And then they, like, you know, they will check your bags. And I thought, I've not seen anyone ever get their dick touched. Like going. So I figured that's how it's coming out. It's coming out down the front of my pants. Because it's quite small. And, yeah, that's what I did, mate. And... Oh, what a fucking rush, mate. Oh, I think I even had to have the charger down my pants as well. But fucking, I got it out. There's plenty of room down there. What a real, and then to have a Sony mini disc. And I used to play Limp Bizkit quite, that was my Limp Bizkit era. So I had Limp Bizkit on there, Incubus. Probably most played song was Counterfeit by Limp Bizkit. A banger, actually, to be fair, of a song. And there we go. That's my mini disc story, and loved it. The height of technology.
So mine was the Walkman. So I had the first Walkman I had was a red Walkman that was a Dixon's own, and their brand was called Seisho.
Right, that was Dixon's.
Dixon's was Seisho. Curry's was Matsui.
Right, I did not know that.
And so I had a Seisho red Walkman that literally had stop, fast forward and play, and that was it. Yeah. And the headphones with like the orange foam on them.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, this is brilliant. I can move around now with music. But then I upgraded one Christmas. I got a yellow Philips Walkman that had three graphic equalizers on it.
Oh my God.
I can just crank the bass up. But like you, that was all great. But then I got the Iowa Walkman.
Fucking hell.
And all of a sudden, I had these headphones that were in-ear, but they went over your head as well, and they folded up.
What?
And like, I'd open them up. I got them out of Tandy, and then I'd plug them into my Iowa Walkman. Oof, mate, what a fucking time to be alive. And at that point, I reckon it was about 88, and I was just starting college and finishing school. I was finishing school, starting college, and... It was around the time of like all the Teddy Riley stuff, so it would have been lots of kind of... I'll tell you exactly what I was listening to. Fight the Power had just dropped, so I'd be listening to Public Enemy a lot. 3 Feet I'm Rising had just come out, so I was listening to De La Soul. And then I was also, you know, smashing stuff like the Pet Shop Boys and Depeche Mode and stuff like that. And yeah, that Walkman went everywhere with me, and I've still got it. And the only reason I've still got it is it's the only thing I've got that I can still listen to my old band demos on.
Oh, that's so cute, man.
But the Walkman. So what's your number one?
My number one is the thing that had the most hype when I was younger, which was a Sony PlayStation. So I had a Master System, which was like looking into the future when I got it. I played it around my rich uncle's house. With my cousin who had everything. My cousin's bedroom was bigger than my flat, my first flat I bought. Like, when I think about it, it was in the loft of the mansion house that they had, and it was the cool... When I used to go around there, it was the coolest fucking time. He had a samurai sword. He had a fucking samurai sword that we stuck through a sofa. And, you know, we went and made our own chocolate one night. Like, we melted chocolate down and froze it in the freezer. We just had the best fucking time. James was super cool. And he was a little bit of a bully. And Mum always worried about that because I couldn't really see it. But he was a little bit spiteful. He's a lovely guy. He's like, he's had a complete personality change by his teens. It's so mad, James. He's so quiet and nice. Anyway, Master System, then I got a SNES, and I was excited about that, but there was, by that point, I'd had a taste for computer game consoles and that. So by the time the big new release came out, which was the PlayStation versus the Sega Saturn, oh my God, I was like 14, I think, 15, and there was just such like hype around what one was going to be the best. It was on a CD. You looked at the controller and it looked like the fucking Starship Enterprise. And I just, when I got hold of that, and like there was demo games, and you could walk a like 3D T-Rex around or a 3D Manta Ray, and you'd be like, fuck me, that's in three dimensions. It looks insane. And it had games like Destruction Derby, and there was another one which was like, not like Tekken, it was called, oh, I can't remember, but, and that was in 3D too. And then you had Wipeout, and Wipeout obviously had had a soundtrack that had Orbital on it. That's where I discovered Left Field. It's where I discovered Orbital and Chemical Brothers. It kind of was the thing that got me into dance music. Mate, I was just a fucking absolute future. And yeah, I just absolutely loved it. There's just too much love for that console. So yeah, my nerd in me had to go with Sony PlayStation, mate.
Well, you know I'm not a gamer, but you know I had a Commodore 64 and I had a Philips VC 2000, which was like their kind of take on the Atari console, I think, when it came out, which was pretty rubbish if I remember rightly. But I think if I had to reference anything gadget wise from gaming, the Quickshot joystick when that came out, the fact it had suckers on it and it. You know, and it just like it had triggers, and it was like holy shit! That blew my mind.
I remember seeing that down in Liberty's in Basildon. Like, and there was a computer game store in there, and they had all those fancy joysticks. And you'd look at it, just thinking, "Fucking hell! I wish I could afford one of them." Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah, unbelievable. My number one, never had one. My nan had one.
Oh yeah, Sibian.
Can still get them today. The tea's made.
Right.
The tea's made, mate. Like, the thought that you go to bed, because the tea's made was like a hefty gadget. Like, are you familiar with the tea's made?
I've got to have a look at a picture. I know what it's all about. I know the score.
So, a couple of cups, and then generally it'd have like a clock built in. Yeah, it, I imagine an alarm clock. Like, but it wouldn't have been a digital clock. It would have been like a your traditional kind of handy clock. And it would also have possibly had a radio built into it. And some of them also had like a little light that would pull up from behind. So you had like a bedside light as well. What more do you need by the side of your bed? I mean, I'm not being funny. You say it put you off your stroke finding that vibrator under that woman's pillow when you was making love. The thought of being in a similar situation and looking left and just seeing a tease made, I'd be like, look, I'm going to have to stop for a minute because this thing, I just want to brew. And so the concept behind the tease made was, for those that aren't aware of it, was I imagine when you set your alarm to wake you up in the morning, when you would wake up, you've literally got a piping hot cup of tea that's been made as almost like it witchcraft, is. Like being made, and it's sitting there by the side of your bed.
Wonder how they came up with a name for it as well.
Yeah, it would have been a pretty impressive marketing meeting. But the one thing that I'm really confused at with the tea's made, milk. Do you put the milk in there the night before? Would it go off by the morning? Or would it have to be powdered milk? I don't know. That's, I suppose, long life milk might get you through it. But that was always my thing. Like, would it be a bit, like, would the milk be a bit jank by the time you get there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's going to have to be long life milk. Unless it's got, like, I don't know if, like, the top models these days have a little fridge in there. I mean, like, you know, the sky's the limit with technology. If you can fucking fly to the moon with your phone, you can probably, they probably put a fridge in a tea's made now. I don't know if they go that far. I just looked at a picture. One of the companies that made the tea's made was called Goblin, which is just the strangest name for a. But the other thing is about the tea's made, do you not think the tea's made is like the epitome of like, do you remember Gremlins and his dad was always making gadgets? And he had, like, you know, the morning mate. And it was like, you had your toothbrush in there, your shaver, it'd give you your toothpaste and your cream. The tea's made's like the ultimate gadget that, like, your fucking whack job dad could create, I reckon, at home in their basement. It's like, no, I'm going to get this to work. And it became a reality for someone. Became a reality, mate.
Where will we go next? It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.